latest from the world of technology. This is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenwick.
I quite like the number of apps that are already available.
Tech Guide.
The iPad 2 still beats just about everything on the market. The new iPad has just kicked away even further.
Tech Guide.
I quite enjoyed using it. Great design. The operating system worked hand in hand with the hardware as well.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is obviously a hot selling device.
Tech Guide.
You know, we want them to be light. We want them to be portable. And this one's very fast with i7 and i5 processors.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick.
Hello and welcome to a special episode of the Tech Guide Podcast. It's great to have your company. Thanks for listening and thanks for downloading. I'm Stephen Fenwick, editor of techguide.com.au, and I'm bringing this week's episode 49 from Taipei, the host city for the annual Computex Technology Show. This week, we'll take a look at some of the announcements made here on the eve of the show, including major announcements from Ford and ASUS. This week's Tech Guide interview will also include a chat with Ford's Connected Services Director, Ed Pleat. Following that, we'll also take a look at Facebook's introduction of verified pages and Apple's new entry-level iPod Touch. Also on the agenda are a couple of affordable smartphones, the LG Nexus 4, it's not a car, the Nexus 4 White and the Samsung Galaxy Express. And we'll finish it all off with the Tech Guide Help Desk. And it's all brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products. A lot to talk about right here on Tech Guide. Well, let's kick things off with one of the major announcements here at Computex, and that's from ASUS. Now, ASUS is a company that is actually located here in Taiwan, in Taipei, and they had their press conference for Computex on the eve of the show. The show doesn't start till Tuesday. I'm recording this on a Monday night here in Taiwan. And yeah, ASUS kicked off the show with a range of new products, some devices that will kind of transform the computing experience. That's how I've described it on Tech Guide anyway. Those products, they introduced four major products. And they include the Transformer Book Trio, which is the world's first 3-in-1 mobile device. So it's an 11.6-inch detachable display. Now, this display can attach to a keyboard dock, so you can use it like a Windows 8 laptop. It can also attach to a desktop dock, so you can use it like a desktop PC. But while it's detached from either of these docks, it can also operate as an Android tablet. So that's right, it's got two operating systems, so Windows 8 and also Android. So quite a handy device that can perform all kinds of tasks. Now, it's powered, when it's connected to the desktop dock, it's got the dock has an Intel 4th generation Core i7 processor and 750 gig hard drive. Now, on the tablet itself, it's got a full HD display as well as 64 gig storage just on the display part. So when it's in tablet mode, you've got 64 gig of storage. Now, moving along to the other product they've announced is the MemoPad HD 7, which is an affordable entry-level tablet computer. They've quoted a US price of $129, which is pretty cheap. Now, that's the MemoPad HD 7. So entry-level customers aimed right at that market. So people who want maybe their first tablet, or they want a larger screen rather than having to stare at their iPhone or their Android device, a smaller screen. They want to go for the larger screen. The MemoPad HD 7 could be the product for them. It's quite affordable. Storage starting at 8 GB and moving up. But this is another interesting announcement, the ASUS PhonePad Note FHD 6. Now, last week we spoke about the PhonePad 7, which is a tablet that makes calls. Well, this is a 6-inch device, kind of in direct competition, I think, with the Samsung Galaxy Note 2, which has got a 5.5-inch screen. Now, this model's got a 6-inch screen. It's also, of course, a 3G It's a phone as well. So if you cross a phone with a tablet, you get this phablet from Asus, the PhonePad Note. It's also got a stylus as well, so you can write directly on the screen. So that's really going head-to-head with Samsung's popular Galaxy Note 2. It's also got a full HD screen, and it's powered by an Intel Atom Z2560 dual-core processor. Plenty of power under the hood there. The last product that Asus announced is actually a mouse. It was the Vivo mouse. Now, at first glance, it looks like a regular mouse with a large circular trackpad on top. Now, it's not only can work as a mouse, so it's a pointing device for moving the cursor, the arrow around your screen, but the top of the mouse also has a circular touchpad, similar to the trackpad that you find on a laptop computer. So it can add those sort of touch capabilities to Windows 8 devices that don't have a touchscreen of their own. It can also be used as a PC remote control for controlling your home entertainment PC. If you're using it as a media center, you can then play back all your content quite easily. But if you want to check out all those products, I've written about them and also put pictures of all those devices at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. Now, a Tech Guide interview.
Before we hear from Ed Pleat, who is the Ford, the Connected Services Director, I just want to talk about some of the announcements they made here at the show. Now, Ford is actually the company who brought me out here, so they've paid my way to get out to here to Taipei for Computex for these announcements. Now, the announcements are around a new initiative called AppLink 2.0. Now, Ford is all about bringing new technology to the driving experience, and one way they envisage that is with the optimization of certain apps that can really add to the experience on the road. Now, what AppLink does, it allows developers to use this API, this application processing interface, programming interface, so that a developer creating an app can tap into Ford's AppLink 2.0 to optimize that for the car. Now, what it does, it provides access to, say, vehicle information and even voice control, so that your app can act in a certain way that is optimized for a driver. For example, it could know the vehicle performance at that particular time, perform a kind of notification or task when the car is stopped, for example. Or it can also allow the driver to, rather than having to touch the smartphone or the touchscreen in the car, it's actually voice command, so that taps into the car's ability to recognize up to 10,000 commands and create this in-car version of an app. So this is it's kind of helping developers help themselves becomes more attractive then to Ford customers who can use these apps within the car. Now, Ford already have a partnership with Microsoft with Ford Sync. Now, we haven't seen any of these cars in Australia just yet, but they have announced that the new Kuga, that's spelled K-U-G-A, the Kuga vehicle, will have this My Ford Touch technology powered by Microsoft. No exact date when this car will appear in Australia, although it is on the roadmap. Forgive the pun, it is definitely on the roadmap. And what the MyTouch technology allows is it's actually an 8-inch touchscreen. It's kind of the central hub for the driver, where they can access climate control and the radio, their phone, the CD player, as well as all the content they can access through USB and SD cards, and all of these apps as well. So Ford have created this on the road high tech solution that is being optimized by AppLink 2.0, so developers can tap into those resources within the car. So imagine an app that you may enjoy using on your smartphone, whether it's an iPhone or an Android device, and then carrying that over into your vehicle. And also, of course, used and optimized for safe usage behind the car. So there's driver distraction is obviously an issue here, but Ford have to deliver AppLink 2.0 so that is not an issue, so that the driver distraction is actually at a minimum. In fact, Ford said they said to me that they've actually got, they will allow or disallow certain features if they think that they will disallow features if they think that could prove to be a distraction. For example, there may be a notification that an app may want a supply of a sporting result or a social media interaction. But the API, the AppLink 2.0, will not allow that, for example, while the car's driving. Hence the reason why accessing the vehicle's performance may be useful here. So maybe once the app detects the car's at a full stop, maybe at lights or in park, then those notifications may come through so that you're not actually in motion when they come through. So really interesting times ahead, I think, for developers with that. And to tell us a little bit more about it, we thought there'd be no better person than Ed Pleat, who has been behind all these initiatives, and here's what he had to say earlier. Hi, Ed. Thanks for your time. Good to see you again. We're here at Computex in Taipei, and Ford had a fairly significant number of announcements, including one called AppLink 2.0. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, Steve, we're really excited. This is our second year here at Computex. We're still actually the only automaker here, so really a proof point that we are a technology company. But you're exactly right. We talked about and we announced AppLink 2.0, kind of the vision of where we're going with AppLink. As you may remember, AppLink is our technology that integrates the ability to use smartphone apps in the car in a safe way using voice control. And we announced kind of that 1.0 capability about a year ago. And now we've announced, just as you said, 2.0. And there's really three key things in 2.0 in the direction we're going. First is voice pass-through. So voice pass-through allows us to take a clip of the customer's voice and actually use it for a variety of purposes. Once we have that clip of the voice, they can take it off-board and use cloud-based voice recognition systems. So a customer can have a free-form text entry. It can turn into text. It can do all kinds of things once you have that information, really taking advantage of what we see with Siri and other voice recognition capabilities. So that was one. The second one, which we think is really big, is vehicle data.
Yep.
So before, primarily the phone apps were pushing information and audio to the vehicle. Now we're going to be able to pull information from the vehicle, taking advantage of the hundreds of sensors that we have, from GPS information to you name it, which will really allow for developers to have a much more opportunity, much more capability to use the vehicle data to create apps. Mm-hmm. And then the third and another one that's really exciting is push notifications. So many of us have smartphones and we're used to getting these little pop-ups, yep, these little snippets of data that's timely. Mm-hmm. Now we'll be able to have that experience in the car where a push notification will come on. It'll be an audio chime and then a little pop-up actually in the vehicle screen telling you there's some key information.
So for developers, this is a handy toolkit, if you like, to customize their apps to work within the Ford vehicles and optimize for the road.
Absolutely, you know? Absolutely.
So you're kind of helping developers help you.
That's exactly right. And really, we are developer-focused. So if you look at how we're growing our AppLink APIs, to the fact that we have a developer program at developer.ford.com, to the fact that we've actually contributed this base code to the Geneva Alliance, which is an automotive consortium, allowing other automakers to use AppLink. So what that does is allows developers to have reduce the number of platforms that they have to develop for. So all these things are really us trying to strive to make us a developer-focused company so more developers want to create apps for cars.
And what's the response been like? You got a lot of developers on the books?
The response has been great. We announced the developer program at CES in January, where we saw each other last. And since then, we've had well over 3,000 registers into the website. So we're really excited about the response, and we're excited that we're launching it here in the Asia-Pacific region. And we look to continue to grow that.
That Asia-Pacific region, of course, includes Australia.
Absolutely.
So, can you tell us, if you can, when is it all happening in Australia? Give us the exclusive.
So it's coming,
right,
Steve.
Here.
It's coming. The exclusive right here. It's going to be coming in by early 14.
Okay.
So I'll tell you that we're working aggressively for app integration in Australia. We actually, from a regional perspective, we announced a few applications that are also going to be the first applications for Asia Pacific. One of them is Pandora. One of them is TuneIn Radio, and then the other one is Kaliki. Kaliki allows you to get newspaper audible clips read to you in the vehicle. Mm-hmm. So Australia is a major focus for us, and we are actively looking for developers from Australia to develop apps for the car, and we are excited to make some announcements here in the future about what we're going to be bringing specifically to Australia.
So region to region, of course, there would be different apps for different areas, and those optimized for those different areas. So
correct.
You'd obviously focus on, if there are Australian developers, you want them in the Australian cars, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely, but that's the great thing about the developer program. So we can have Australian developers developing great apps for our customers in Australia, but they could also be developing apps for customers around the world.
Yeah.
Because it is a global platform. For us, we'll have the Sync AppLink platform on vehicles around the world.
And the apps themselves, like, do you have some say in, you mentioned it accesses the vehicle, vehicle information. So do you have some say in when some of those notifications you mentioned are given to the driver? Because at the end of the day, you want the driver to be safe.
Absolutely.
So can you, you've got some say in what the apps can and can't do in the car, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. So all of our apps, actually in our developer site, we have guidelines that we ask developers to follow for driver distraction. And all of our apps ultimately have to be approved and tested by Ford. Mm-hmm. So developers can go to the developer site. They can see all the rules of the road, if you will, see what's required to develop an app and what rules they need to follow. But ultimately, we do have control of what apps that will be allowed to be distributed for the vehicles.
So you mentioned early 14 for Australia, and obviously in other parts of the world, it's already we're already seeing it as well.
Right.
Well, what is this, the lineup of cars that Ford are going to promise this kind of connection? It's the roadmap, forgive the pun.
Sure.
What's that looking like?
So Sync is our global connectivity platform, and we're rolling it around, we're rolling it out to just about all of our vehicles. Mm-hmm. And Sync vehicles that have the capability will get AppLink as well. Mm-hmm. So you'll see this capability on the majority of our vehicles globally, including Australia.
Okay. Ed, thanks for your time.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Now, a Tech Guide news update.
Well, there is news from Facebook once again, and they've actually taken a leaf out of the Twitter book, let's just say, by introducing verified pages and accounts. One issue with not only on Facebook but also on Twitter was the fact that there were many fake accounts for high-profile individuals, especially celebrities. So there was no way that before where a lot of users were confused, well, is this the real person? Is it not? And how Twitter got around that was providing that little tick, that little white tick in the blue circle next to the username. I've actually got one, which is I'm very proud of that. I've got a verified profile on Twitter, so I am me. There are no fakes. You're getting the real deal when you look at my profile. So what that does is assures the person who wants to follow that person that they are getting the real person. So that's not a fake account. That was one issue with Twitter, as I mentioned. Now, Facebook have also gone down this path and also launched their verified pages and profiles. So a small white tick inside a blue circle beside that person's name will indicate to the user that it is a verified account. And that will appear if you look at their timeline, if you look at them in their search result and everywhere else on Facebook, so that it's easily visible that this person is the genuine article, not a fake account. So this is something also, just like Twitter, that verified accounts is not something that people can ask for. These have to be verified so that you can't request these this verified account. Users cannot do that. They have to be identified and verified by Facebook, as is the case with Twitter. Twitter have various people looking at accounts and issuing verified ticks along the way. So if you're on Facebook, and Twitter for that matter, and you want to make sure you're following the real deal, keep an eye on that little tick. I've put a little story on Tech Guide and also provided an image which will show users what that blue verified tick will look like. You can read that at techguide.com.au. Well, Apple have released a new product, albeit very quietly. It was a very quiet introduction of this new product. It's a new entry-level iPod Touch. Now, this entry-level iPod Touch is priced, it's the cheapest iPod Touch, hence the reason why it's an entry-level product. It's $249, and it has the same 4-inch Retina display that's seen on the current iPod Touch 5th generation and on the iPhone 5. It's got a very slim design. It's 6.1 millimeters thick. Not available in the multicolours like the regular 5th gen iPod Touch models are. This is only available in one colour variant. So it's black on the front with silver aluminium rear panel. And one thing you won't find on the new iPod Touch is a camera. It's done away with the camera, so that's one of the reasons why I guess it's cheaper. It's got a 16 gigabyte internal capacity, so you can store plenty of apps and music and other content to carry around with you everywhere. Also comes with the EarPods, Apple's latest version of their earphones, and it's also got the Lightning connector, so you get the Lightning to USB cable in the box. Now, this effectively replaces the fourth generation model, which was the previous entry-level model for the iPod Touch. So if you want to get iPod Touch, the new cheaper price, it is now $249. Of course, the iPod Touch 5th generation are still available. They've got the built-in 5 megapixel cameras and are now available in 32 gig for $329 and 64 gig for $439. There are pictures of the new iPod Touch, the entry-level iPod Touch, so you can see the rear panel of the device. Just has a small Wi-Fi Bluetooth aerial. It's a little black area of plastic on the black silver brushed metal, aluminium rear panel. But there's no camera. But it's also very thin. Of course, it's got the 3.5mm stereo headphone, the jack, and built-in speaker and Lightning connector at the bottom of the device. Up top, there isn't a rear camera. But there is a front-facing camera for FaceTime calls, so that even though you can't take photos of with a larger, stronger 5-megapixel camera, you still have that front-facing camera for taking your selfies and other images and also making your FaceTime calls, which is good to know. So if you're in the market for a cheaper iPod Touch, Apple has slipped this one very, very quietly into the market. I noticed it on the Apple Store, their online store on their website, just a few days ago. So if you want to check this out, you can do so at techguide.com.au. And the Tech Guide podcast is proudly brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand. Now, Netgear have introduced their latest Wi-Fi 802.11ac. And if you want to experience the fastest Wi-Fi ever in your home, you can with their new devices. You can go even faster and further with the new Netgear 802.11ac routers. You can supercharge your home wireless network with the Netgear's wireless AC products, which deliver next-generation gigabit Wi-Fi that's up to 3 times faster than existing Wi-Fi products. They're NBN-ready and great for streaming HD video. Netgear's family of 802.11ac products can provide increased Wi-Fi coverage, which means you can now use your mobile devices, things like your tablets and smartphones, in every corner of your home. Now, if you own a Samsung Galaxy S4 or a HTC One, these devices are actually 802.11ac compatible. So if you have your Netgear router 802.11ac with one of these devices, the Galaxy S4 or HTC One, your wireless connection in your house can be up to 3 times faster. The Netgear Genie app too has also had over 2 million downloads, and it makes installation really easy, and you can view and play all of your digital photos, movies and music on your smartphone, on your tablet, your PC, or even your smart TV using that Genie app. To find out more, head over to netgear.com.au/fastest Wi-Fi.
This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Now, we're going to talk about a new entry-level, or not quite entry-level in the case of the LG Nexus 4. This was a product that was actually introduced late last year, and it was a very popular product. Now, this is the device built in conjunction. So LG, in conjunction with Android, produced the Nexus 4. Now, before, when it was released the first time around, it was only available in black. Well, the good news is it is now available yet again, but this time in white. It's available exclusively from Harvey Norman store, so you can actually buy it outright for the very affordable price of $419. Or you can get it on an Optus plan for starting at about $5 a month on a $50 plan over 24 months. Now, the Nexus 4 has got the same Qualcomm Snapdragon S4 processor. It's got a 4.7-inch screen, 2 gig of RAM, and the latest Android 4.2 Jelly Bean operating system. Now, it's only a 3G device, not 4G, which may be one of the reasons why it is so cheap. But the good news is, though, that there's many people who opt for an Android smartphone. A lot of them are annoyed with the user interface that's placed above the Android operating system. For example, the Galaxy S4 has Samsung's TouchWiz UI. LG also on their Optimus G have their own little layer of software. Same deal with the Sony Xperia Z. They've all got their own little skin above the Android 4.2, or the Jelly Bean operating system on this particular model, 4.2. But on this device, because it is a Google product, there is no such, so it doesn't get in the way. There's no additional layer of that manufacturer's user interface. So if you want a pure Android experience, 4.2 Jelly Bean, then the Nexus 4 is a great way to provide that. It's available, as I said, in white. It's available, going to be available from mid-June. So you can buy it outright on that very affordable $419 price, or you can get it on an Optus plan. If you want to check out the pictures of the image, you can do that at techguide.com.au, but a good option if you maybe have buy it outright, and you may have a prepaid affordable SIM plan as well. That's a great combination of products. You can read more about that at Tech Guide. Well, let's continue the theme of the smartphone, and this time out we're talking about the Samsung Galaxy Express, or what I like to call the smaller and cheaper version of the Galaxy S3. It's kind of the Galaxy S3 mini, if you like, although the screen isn't that much smaller. It's only 4.5 inches, I think down from 4.7 from the Galaxy S3. It's still the Super AMOLED display. It's got a 1.2 gigahertz dual-core processor with 1 gig of RAM. So I think if you're in the market, if you like Samsung phones, you can't afford the Galaxy S4, can't afford the Galaxy Note 2, or even the Galaxy S3 for that matter, then this is a pretty good option. It's pretty affordable. It's available exclusively from Optus. Now, this is a 4G product too, I should add. It is a 4G device that will run on Optus's 4G network. And it is has a number of features. It's got 5-megapixel camera. It's also got 8 gig of internal memory, but it's also got a micro SD card slot, so you can increase that capacity with up to a 32-gigabyte capacity card. So that's a great way to bump up your memory. It's also got NFC, or what Samsung call S-Beam, so you can instantly Bluetooth pair with other compatible devices and also exchange content with those other compatible devices also. Now, the Galaxy Express, as I said, available exclusively from Optus, $7 a month on a $35 plan, and that with that comes 200 meg of data, $200 of included value, plus unlimited texts. But I think a better value product, a better value plan would be zero up front on the $50 plan, which is only another, let me do my maths here, another $8 a month. And that then you bump up to 1 gig of data, $500 of combined value, and also unlimited SMS. If you're in the market for a cheaper, more affordable, and slightly smaller Samsung Galaxy device, then the Galaxy Express could easily fit the bill. If you want to check out the Optus plans, I've created a link from my story at techguide.com.au.
Answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
The Tech Guide Help Desk this week offers a little bit of useful advice. Now, how many of you have desktop computers, expensive equipment, connected straight into the plug in your wall? There's probably most of you would be saying that. But here's a piece of advice. I think it'd be wise to invest in a small, inexpensive little product called a surge protector. Now, as its name suggests, a surge protector protects you from a surge of power up the cable into whatever device it's actually plugged into. So if your computer is plugged directly into the power point and you experience a power surge, which can often happen, say, during thunderstorms and bad weather, power comes straight back up out of that point, up the cable, fries your computer dead. Your computer or whatever equipment for that matter is attached to it, could be a stereo system or a TV or whatever it is, will be damaged or possibly permanently damaged with the power surge. Now, the surge protector has the built-in ability to dissipate that power within the protector. So you can find these. There's a couple of forms of surge protector. So it's either a single plug, so you plug it into the PowerPoint, then plug in your computer or your other equipment into that single plug. And that will then protect your computer or equipment from the power surge, and they won't be burnt out or destroyed. Other forms of surge protection come in power boards. So you may have a bank of 4, 5, 6, however many are in your power board, and that also comes with surge protection. So make sure if you're in the market to do this, if you don't have one and you want to go out and buy one, look for those words, surge protector, surge protection. They're pretty prominently displayed on the packaging because it is a very good selling point. I think a very wise investment. Doesn't cost much at all, but that small investment can save you maybe a lot of money down the track because you don't want to be on the wrong end of a power surge. You're listening to Tech Guide. And that's our show for another week. You can read more about everything I spoke about on this week's edition of the Tech Guide podcast at techguide.com.au. And please, we want to hear from you. So send us an email. You may have a question. You can email us at info@techguide.com.au. And feel free to also submit your questions via the Tech Guide forum. Here's where a lot of our readers and myself like to answer any, if you've got a problem with a device you have, you might be wanting an opinion of a product that you want to get, you may have some issues, myself and my loyal readers may work them out for you on the Tech Guide forum, more than likely. And it's all brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi gear for all your wireless needs. Thanks for listening. We're looking forward to talking to you again next week. And as we always say, stay safe and stay connected.